Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 24th, 180th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is the president at College of the Redwoods. We don't use the I word around here. Keith Snowflamer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, too.
You know, you just look like a ray of water. That dark blue shirt.
I don't know what a
it ray, jumps, well, instead
ray
of a ray
of water
sunshine.
Is, but the last time I was here, you said I looked like an Undertaker.
Yeah, well, see, now you're upgrading, dude. Yeah. Eventually, you're going to be somebody we'll feel comfortable taking out in public.
I can just tell my wife that thing, yeah. And I'll be just fine.
Now, did she choose the shirt for you, or are you a self-dresser?
I am a self-dresser, always have been.
Oh, good for you. I normally am told I need new clothes. And then they arrive. Oh, let's see our quote this morning. Ben Jonson in 1614, quote, "Next to the truth, a confirmed error does pretty well."
Not bad.
Yeah, jeez. So how did the year end up for Redwoods?
I think the year ended up very well. I think our faculty, staff, students were motivated. It was a very good year. I love graduation, which I talked to you about before. It was great, and we have a lot of good plans to move forward.
Fiscally, financially, attendance-wise, campus-wise, everything okay?
Fiscally, we have a budget that's balanced going into 2016 and 17. Moving beyond that next year is where I think we're going to have problems and where we're going to have to close a budget gap that we still need to figure out how we're going to do. And the principal reason for the gap in the budget is because our enrollment has decreased. And coupled with the an enrollment decrease, we also have our personnel costs are going up. Health and welfare, et cetera, et cetera. So we have a gap between our revenues and expenditures. So we don't have a problem next year, but the following years, we could have some problems.
So that would be 17, 18?
17, 18 and beyond. It depends what happens with the state budget, et cetera. So we're going into the 17, 18 year with some assumptions.
When do you start working on that year rather than the next year?
We are starting to look at 17-18 now. The one thing,
because of the challenges that,
yes,
it represents.
Because the one thing that I really don't want to do is kick the can down the road and say that we'll worry about that when we have a solid idea of what the problems are. So we
like
know,
a week and a half before the academic year starts,
or a few or a few months prior to, because
right.
I can anticipate the problems being there. And the sooner we start working together as a campus to close that gap now, then that problem will not become a crisis. We don't like to manage by crisis. No one wins that way.
Are you talking big numbers, small numbers?
Right now, we don't know going to 17-18.
Fair enough. Roll the dice. It's 8-19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Keith Snowflamer. Keith, the concept of managing into the future.
Yes.
Isn't one that is well, I guess it's not well understood by a lot of folks.
Okay.
I mean, we look at redwoods, we look at any kind of an entity and go, well, there's so many grains of sand that are shifting all the time.
Always, that's true.
How can you do anything with any degree of certainty? So is it trending? Is it what you best guess is? I mean, how do you start?
You know, projecting enrollment is not so much a science, as sometimes it's an art that we have to base enrollment on trends, of course, but then we have to look out and say what is happening in our marketplace, in our community, that we could take advantage of to boost enrollment. So we have probably two or three keys that we always have to focus on. Three keys. One, of course, boost enrollment, what's out there in our community. Two is how can we have some cost containment in our expenditures. And the third biggest piece that is really sometimes hard to quantify is how can we market the institution? How can we brand the institution, not just in our Eureka area, but our Del Norte Crescent City area,
because it's a system.
District, our whole system,
yeah.
And also Southern Humboldt. We have to figure out how we're going to do that. So those are the three key pieces that we have to focus on, and everything else will just either come just because of inertia, or those are things that we just can't anticipate, but we hope will come in, like the state budget.
What is the status of the community college system in California? We heard some of the challenges that San Francisco,
yes,
the city was dealing with. I don't know, are they still open or are they closed?
They are very much open.
Okay, so they are back on the trail. You hear the population keeps growing.
Yes.
So you would think that the enrollment would be swelling, that there'd be capacity issues and challenges like that. Is it pretty much district to district to district to district? Different stories?
Yeah. The problem that CR has that the rest of the state doesn't have is we're so rural. Like CR, Shasta, Siskiyou, Lassen, Victor Valley.
Siskiyou makes us look like the big time, though.
That's pretty sad statement right there, by the way. That's a pretty sad statement.
I notice it's not being contested, however.
I'm not going to contest that. But I think that overall in the state, I think that the system is very strong. Of course, that, you know, that the state is looking for a new chancellor. So that search is underway. But
does that impact your campus? Does that impact Shasta?
No, it doesn't. In the short run, it does not. But that chancellor has significant power in terms of setting the direction for the state. For example, in the old chancellor, Student Success Initiative was the cornerstone of his guidance. And that's how we got the student equity planning pieces, student support planning program. Those programs that help students not just access, but also be successful throughout the system.
So it really sets the culture.
It does set the culture.
What do you do when there's not a chancellor? You just kind of momentum and inertia keeps it going in the direction that it was until somebody changes direction?
I think that's partially true, but we're never without a chancellor. We have an acting chancellor now who's been in the system for so long that can still have some guidance there.
Not an interim, an acting.
We have an acting chancellor who's acting very well, by the way.
Okay. Nice try on the save, yeah. Oh, man.
and the other piece, of course, that we are focused on is called dual enrollment. And
you kind of expanded the pie.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Just as you and I have talked about in the past, is that we have to open up new markets if we're going to boost enrollment. We just can't rely on the same old, same old.
So are there other ideas that are out there floating around that other colleges and JCs have got that you can cherry pick?
Oh, of course. But I think that the biggest piece, the strongest program that has a lot of legs to it right now is the dual enrollment piece. Because the college can pick up the FTS And the high school can also pick up ADA.
Oh, really? They're double dipping on those kids?
It depends. It depends. It depends.
Okay, that's my terminology.
Okay,
not,
thank you.
Not yours,
no.
Okay.
But also, it's not so much, it's good for the colleges and the high schools, but also really it's good for the students and the parents because the students can take a college course while in high school and get credit for both. Not that they'll get ADA or FTS for both, but they'll get credit for both. And so then the student can save a lot of money by taking a college course in high school, which means they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, it certainly works. It changes dynamics.
Oh, it does.
It's 4 years, 5 years?
For what?
How long has the dual enrollment program been in existence?
I have been doing dual enrollment for almost 15 or 20 years in other states.
In others, okay.
But in California, it's been here probably 10, 15 years, okay. But it's been more centralized within a few big schools in like San Diego, Palomar, et cetera. But now it's extended across the whole state.
Now, the right. Tentacles are spreading?
They are because, yeah. Quite frankly, when I was in junior high school, I was in dual enrollment, so I took calculus courses from college while in junior high and high school.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
That's uncomfortable. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with College of the Redwoods President Keith Snowflamer. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Keith, the dual enrollment program that we were talking about,
yes,
prior to the break, is there a cast in stone, square corner, hard edge dual enrollment program? Or is this something that each of the schools have an opportunity to kind of customize to their marketplace, to the kids in their communities' needs, wants, and desires, and what, honestly, the K-12 system has any interest in providing also?
Very, very, very good question. The dual enrollment program has been pretty well set in stone from the state of California in terms of the parameters. And the biggest piece of that is that CR has to work with each of our partners to tailor that dual enrollment program to meet their community needs. So for example, I'd work with Fred Van Fleck or with Chris Hartley in Northern Humboldt to figure out what does that program look for with those communities and tailor those programs. Just as long as we adhere to what the state says is the law, then we can, inside those boundaries, is make sure that the program fits their needs.
So is the state, are those boundaries of as far as you can go out, a limiter, or are they the minimal acceptable, so they have to be packed in and that is, more can be done, but that's the minimum?
I would like to take a more positive approach to it, and that we have the minimum guidelines that we have to adhere to, but we can expand to what those community needs as long as we adhere to what the state says the boundaries.
So you got to make at least a batch of spaghetti for two, but if you decide to go with 200, that's okay.
That is
you've covered the minimum.
We have covered the minimum, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hungry already.
it's not quite time for a lunch, but...
But we can work on it. Yeah, we can change the clock.
but this is a beautiful program. But we have both dual enrollment as well as concurrent enrollment.
And the distinction between the two is?
The concurrent enrollment program are the courses that CR can offer after the college day ends at 3:30. So that means that a high school student will be in a class with college students. So we'll have those classes at the high school campus as long as it's after 3:30. So the campus then is done. But the dual enrollment program is a little different in that is that the high school teacher teaches the college curriculum to the high school students. So they're not
physically on CR's campus?
That is correct. They're actually in their own environment taking college courses, college curriculum.
So it's kind of like the advanced programs, the advanced class offerings that are taught. The one that lets you get a 4.3 grade point.
Yeah, you know, one can see dual enrollment as a substitute for AP courses.
Thank you very much. Hey, ding.
Okay, yeah. But also dual enrollment is extremely good for students who want to go into career technical education, welding, auto. If we can get those programs up and running, those programs that the high school may not offer, but want to have that certificate available to their students when they graduate high school.
Why not offer more at the CR campus, whether it's Crescent City or Eureka, for the high school kids? Why not bring them into that college environment rather than the high school environment?
It's that is available to them. But then that's also after that 3:30 time frame. Sometimes students cannot be excused from class to go to the campus.
So you can go to like the 4 o'clock classes in night school.
Sure. But we want to make it easier for students to be able to be successful in their courses. But also what we've seen, and I think it's probably nationally, is that sometimes students, even though the parents sign off on their concurrent enrollment form of what we were talking about, and the principal signs off on it, there are times that we've seen where students may not quite be socially ready for the college class, whereas intellectually, academically, they are ready. And what dual enrollment will take that particular issue out of the equation and say, you'll have college courses, college curriculum, but you'll be at the high school setting. And so then you're not competing with a college student who may be 60 years old or 50 years old, or in my case, 56
somewhere
years
else.
Old.
Yeah. I would think that there's a grand opportunity. Is there for the kids to really perform well? Is there the amount of choices, class offerings that you would like in both options? Or is that still pretty much the domain of the college campus option? And if you want some of those types of classes, you really do have to make it out to the school.
It's both. It's both because our faculty have to work with the high school faculty on course alignment. And then we have to work with the principals and superintendents to see what courses they want to offer in dual enrollment. The one thing we want to be very careful of is that we don't take work away from a high school teacher. And that is something that we are very, very sensitive about. So it has to be a win-win. That's the only way this is going to work well.
Do these classes, I would think, you also have to measure that against what the kids need in order to graduate.
Yes.
I'm thinking, so if you're taking a really narrow sliver class.
Yeah.
History, just because Bill was around, Vietnam, the history of the Vietnamese War.
Great class, by the way.
Okay. Does that then qualify towards the high school requirements for graduation from the high school? Just because it's a dual enrollment, or is it really something that's a college class and will get you college credits, but there really is no equivalent at the high school level for recognizing that?
And that's why the course alignment is so important. that the high school teacher and the college teacher works at the same time to make sure that the course is aligned for the student curriculum, both for high school as well as for college.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Keith Snowflamer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Keith Snowflamer. Keith, so what is going to be the future of, the relationship between the K-12 system and the community college system as you're trying to forge these partnerships and connectors, but at the same time, you've got the elephant out there in the middle of the room called the four-year schools that want the kids for all 4 years because then they're able to craft and hone and charge the students for 4 years rather than just for two?
That is a loaded question, and I'll try my best to answer that question.
Well, you know, you can filibuster. You only got a minute and a half to fill.
let's tackle that first question first, if you will. One is, what is the future of the K-12 and the two-year school system? And my answer to that question is they have to be a seamless partnership because we're dealing with the same students. So when a K-12 is done, then CR or two-year schools will pick up. So that relationship, that partnership has to be seamless. And so there really shouldn't be any boundaries between the K-12 and a two-year school system. The 4 year school system, it's a little different. It's not so much seamless, but it has to be seamless, if you will, between the 2 year schools and the 4 year schools. Talking about CSUs, and that's why we have these transfer agreements that allows a student to be at CR, if you will, take a certain amount of courses in a particular degree, and have that automatically transferred to a CSU.
So you got to kind of coming in the front door, and you got to going out the back door.
Exactly, and what happens in the middle has to be seamless, and the relationship has to be strong.
I would think that's the toughest thing, is you get somebody at the end of their freshman year, and now they want to go out. It has to be just as smooth as if it's a two-year program, and they're going out and on.
It should be just as smooth, because sometimes those same students will say, I'd rather go back to a two-year school and pick up a few courses and retransfer again.
And take another shot at it.
Thanks
for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Enjoy summertime.
I shall.
We've been talking shop with Keith Snowflamer. Join us tomorrow morning for a shopping show, and Monday morning for more Talk Shop. See you then.